everyone. You guys are still alive out of Bukade on the last day. That's impressive. Anybahle on top of that. But guys, welcome to Spotify Freshie Squeeze live podcasting at Bacardi Holiday Club. I'm so excited. I am so excited to be here today. I'm so excited to be having a conversation. We are getting all of the juice from the main source herself. Today, I am with Jax Amahle, and she is all things Until. She's all things brand management. To me, she's the gal. And there's no better person to be having this conversation with. Hi.
How's it?
Are you good?
I'm exhausted.
Okay. You don't look good. Again.
At least I look good.
Yes, you definitely do look good. I do think before we start, we do need to take a sip of our drink.
Let's do
our detox, Nyana. So cheers.
Cheers to
detoxing.
Delicious. Refreshing. There you go. Mm-hmm. You're alive. You're back.
Oh, I like watermelon. That's good. So before jumping into Bacardi, I do want to get to know you just a little bit. And you've been able to do amazing things, so we'll get into that. I know you're from the Eastern Cape.
Fully?
Yeah, but yes. And you came to Johannesburg to study.
Uh-huh.
And in the midst of that, you then somehow stumble upon putting together some of the biggest and best events here in South Africa right now.
Yeah.
Walk me through that. How does that happen?
So I'm in varsity and I meet a couple of these guys. Some of them are around here. There's another one over there. And we're bored on Tuesday.
Okay.
And it's June 16th on the Friday.
Okay.
And we're like, let's throw a party. It's a public holiday.
Yeah.
And we've always wanted to attend a themed party.
Uh-huh.
So we themed the party. We called it High School Cool. Mm-hmm. And in 6 days, we managed to get 800 people on a tennis court.
Tough.
And we do this party. And the invite said the party starts at 8 and goes on until.
Uh-huh.
And that's quite literally how we got our name.
Okay.
And then in the months after that, we realized that we were really good at throwing parties.
Uh-huh.
And so we all threw parties. And then some oaks were in varsity, others were working.
Mm-hmm.
And I think 2 years into it, everyone quit their jobs.
Okay.
I was still in school. My mom's a doctor. She was never going to play around like that.
She was not having
so it. So I continued with school and then we quit our jobs and we started Until.
Okay. I think that's such a lovely foundation to start something off of, the fact that you're working with your friends.
Yeah.
But I can also imagine that to be somewhat challenging.
Ugh.
Balancing the friendship and the work aspect of it.
Terrible.
How do you guys go about that?
So early on, we had this rule, like if we're in an argument, if you don't address it the next day, it's done.
Forget about it.
Mm. And that kind of helped us in our younger days to like get over like the little fights that we're having in between us and just kind of put the work first. So, and I think that's a very important thing that we do is like work first, argue later. So there's been many a times like I'm not getting along with Tools or I'm not getting along with Charles, you know. But you best your life. Like we are going to work. We're going to get it through the line.
Yeah.
And then we'll fight in our own silos behind that. So we'll be sitting in sponsors meetings and I can't stand you. But we will pretend. We'll sit here and be
because
like,
we're here to work.
Exactly.
Okay.
So the brand is bigger than what our internal
little friendship
battle
fight is or whatever the case
is.
I'm also so excited to speak to you because you are a woman who's in the entertainment industry, particularly eventing.
Uh-huh.
I want to know what that experience has been like for you. Has it been challenging? Do you feel like you have garnered the respect that you do deserve? Has it gotten easier with the more events that you do?
I think in the beginning, I had a chip on my shoulder about it. Like, I'm a woman in events. Recognize me. Because I think in most people just don't see women in this kind of industry, right?
Yeah.
So I always had a point to prove, like, I'm a boss and, like, hear me. And I would scream and I would shout.
Mm.
Now that I'm older, I turned 30 last year.
Whoop, whoop.
Now that I'm older, I don't care whether or not you give me the authority that I'm supposed to have.
Mm.
I'm at that point where I'm just going to bypass you.
Mm.
Because I've also grown to a point where I can bypass you.
Yeah.
So it was very difficult in the beginning because you really want to like, you want people to recognize that you're also the same as an equal counterpart
for
to your male colleague.
For sure.
But in general now, I think I command the respect and I think I've earned that respect.
For sure.
And I no longer have to scream and shout to get that respect.
Yeah.
And I think that just comes with growing up.
Definitely. And I think your work speaks for itself. So naturally, you shouldn't have to say anything else.
Like,
yeah. Okay. So you guys have been very creative in the events that you guys have. You have an array of them and they're all kind of very different with specific themes.
Yeah.
What is the creative process behind that?
So creative goes to Tulani, Khat and Madva. If I'm speaking about Bacardi Holiday Club.
Yes.
And Charles.
Yes.
They're the creatives. I'm admin.
Okay.
And basically, it's just like, we're in the southern tip of the world.
Uh-huh.
How do we bring global experiences to South Africa, right? Not many people are going to get to go to Brazil, for example.
Yeah.
How do we, in our own way, bring Brazil
here
to South Africa, right? And I think that's what it is. It's all based on giving people an experience they wouldn't naturally get to experience. And the creative process is crazy. It takes like a year of meetings and like, okay, what's the theme this year? What is it going to look like? The designs, the renders, the back and forth. But the creative team, they're crazy.
Yeah.
Like, I think we also live in kind of an idea that if we can do anything, and that's the team that I have, is that there's nothing that we can't do.
Yes.
Why?
Yes.
You know, so if you're saying the theme is Copacabana, sure, we're going to bring Brazil.
Yeah.
We're going to put sand in the middle of a festival.
Yeah.
So people can play soccer and volleyball because that's what they do in Brazil.
Yeah.
And it's a very collaborative effort, but like, shout out to the creative team who kind of just like,
definitely,
there they are, who work their asses off to like bring these ideas to
life.
Together,
Okay. Before we come back to Bacardi.
Yeah.
I've also heard you kind of speak to the fact that your events are kind of like you solving a problem.
Yeah.
So I think High School Cool was that you wanted to go out in like school uniform.
Yeah.
And there wasn't a space to do that. You did that. Good Morning was the fact that we were in COVID. There were restrictions. People had to be outside, had to end at a certain time.
Yeah.
So that's also kind of like led to the creation of some of your events. The fact that you guys spotted a gap in the market and were like, you know what? No one is doing that. We can definitely bring this about.
Everything of ours is always chance and a mistake and solving a problem, like you're saying. So like Sunday Rose started off as Tools' birthday.
Okay. Ooh, we thank the Lord for Tools' birthday on that day.
So basically, me and Tools are the expats in Joburg. Everyone is born and raised in Joburg. Tools is from KZN. I'm from the Eastern Cape. And we had always spoken about like how we never break bread on Sundays because we don't have like families to have a Sunday roast with.
Yeah.
So it started off as his birthday. We're going to serve people like a proper meal.
Yes.
And then basically we're going to create this groove now where we serve people some food and then we all groove afterwards.
Yeah.
Good Morning, like you're saying, we're sitting on our asses.
Yeah.
There's nothing COVID. And then we worked within those restrictions of like, between, I think the restrictions were you had to be outdoors, 400 people, everybody has to be home by 9 p.m. So we were like, okay, cool, let's create a brunch concert. It's going to start at 10 a.m. It's going to end at 6 so suppliers can be done.
Yes.
And then everyone goes home. So that is also how we do our events. It's like very much what's missing or how do we solve a problem that we have internally with an event.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how it
also
works.
Also, it's cool. It's like, what would we want to do? Like, I would 100% love to attend something like this. So 100% because it doesn't exist, let me make it.
Yeah.
So you guys have now pivoted, obviously, you know, from your first event. You're now throwing something as big as Bacardi Holiday Club.
Mm.
I want to hear everything Bacardi related because I just think that what you guys have been able to do is phenomenal. The space is cool. You have all of these brands. You're managing artists. There's food. There's drinks. Abantu bahle nje kuningi okwenza kalana. So what has been putting Bacardi together been like?
It takes a year.
Okay.
It's very stressful.
Yeah.
It's basically trying to experience where people are on holiday.
Okay.
For 3 days.
Yes.
Right? And if you notice when you're on holiday, you don't have a care in the world.
100%.
You're happy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of like the experience we're trying to create. And everything is beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, we're in a town called Balfour that doesn't really have much going for it. But on this here plot... It's beautiful and everyone's great and everyone's going to look good and everyone's going to respect each other and we're going to have all kinds of music because you're on holiday.
Yeah, for sure.
So you have to have different experiences and different touch points.
Mm.
And how do you maintain the energy of it is you give it a different theme every year, right? And you keep improving how it is aesthetically. Mm. But it's also about quality over quantity.
Yes.
So I imagine people have always wondered, why have we not made it a 10,000 people festival or 5,000 people festival? Because when you're on holiday, you don't want to skivikivi.
Facts.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you want to be relaxed. You want to go to the bar and get your drink. You want to get
food. And not wait in a really long line.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Because you're meant to be comfortable. You're meant to be happy because you're on holiday. Mm. And that's essentially holiday club. It's this, like, oasis out of the madness of the city.
Yeah.
And I think that's why we created it.
Okay. I can imagine that obviously putting all of this together comes with a lot of stress. And this is a bit of a personal question for me because I'm trying to actually put together like a live podcasting event. We did it last year. We're doing it again this year. Guys, I have so much respect for people who throw events. You have no idea. I did my first one and I was like, it's a wrap. Like, I'm good with that. So how do you guys deal with the mishaps, with the overall morale of the team? I can imagine when things aren't going well, when sponsors aren't paying on time, people are letting you down, artists aren't arriving.
Hey.
How do you deal with that and keep the energy up? Oh, sorry, that personal, yo. Sorry.
Hey, that guy, guys. Hey.
Yeah. So how do you deal with that internally as a team? How do you keep your morale up? What keeps you going?
I'll be honest with you. I'm the Debbie Downer.
Okay.
I'm the anxious person in my group.
Okay.
But I think I was actually having a conversation with someone and they were like, you just make the decision.
Okay.
Immediately.
Yeah.
You just say, okay, we're pivoting. Immediately we're doing this. Obviously, there's a lot of stress that comes with it. The back and forth responses. Mm-hmm. What is your event going to look like? Because we want our event to look good. So what does your space look like?
Yes.
Am I going to run this from my own pocket or whatever the case may be? But you just make the decision and the faster you make it, the easier it actually will be for you.
Okay.
I wear stress on my face.
Okay.
So for example, yesterday, I must have looked dead to most people.
Yeah.
But I think it also speaks to teamwork, right? You carry each other.
Mm.
If I'm a very stressful person, someone else is going to bring me up and say, yo, don't worry, we're going to keep moving, we can keep going, whatever. Because the crowd and the audience and the customers can never see you guys break down. The festival must never look like there's an issue.
For sure.
And it's a response time thing. And I think my team has done it very well in how quickly we respond, how solutions based we were and are still. Mm. You keep it going.
You keep walking.
I think it's the same in every job.
Yeah.
It's not just events. Like if you're an accountant and shit is hitting the fan.
For
am
sure.
I allowed to swear? Okay. Yeah. Shit is hitting the fan.
Yeah.
You know, you would naturally just find a solution.
For sure.
So that your line manager is not on your ass.
Yeah.
So I think it's the same for every industry.
I do think it's the same, but there's something about what you do that carries more weight in my mind because there are more people reliant on you guys to have a certain type of experience. You know?
Yeah, and then maybe I think it takes a certain kind of personality because then everyone would do events.
Yeah.
Or a certain kind of team.
Yeah.
But it really is a matter of just find the solution, the next best thing. And we've been doing this for 10 years.
Yeah.
So we kind of...
Thank you. Yeah, that's amazing.
So we kind of know now
how
to plug and
go.
Fix. And
yeah, for
if
sure.
If an artist is missing, where's Dibin Gogo? Can she quickly jump in for us?
And you have those relationships that
exactly.
you've been able to grow over the years to be able to ask people to do stuff like that for you.
Exactly.
Okay, earlier, we were also talking about all of the lovely brands that you have up over there.
Yeah.
And I can see that Bacardi really is a team effort and that it's you guys, it's your sponsors, it's the people that love and support you.
Yeah.
But I want to speak to brand power and how to maybe cultivate a lasting relationship with a brand.
I think it's you always have to execute what you said you were going to do.
Okay.
I think that's the
basics.
Stand
on business.
Yeah, stand on business,
yes.
Say what you said you were going to do.
Yeah.
And I think it's also being very frank with your client when things aren't going where you thought they were going to go.
Mm.
In building a relationship says, I can be honest with you and say, look, for example, I'll give you an example. It was hot yesterday.
Yeah.
I have promised liquid fruit slushies.
Yes.
It's too hot to make slushies. The slushies on slushies.
Yeah.
You go to your brand manager, you say, Chief, I'm sorry, but you can see also, you can feel the temperature is hot. What do we do next? Okay, cool. Let's get more juices to that bar.
Mm-hmm.
Let's push more juice.
Yeah.
The slushies will come when they come.
Yeah.
So I think brand management, not necessarily my forte, but I think it's very much about having an honest relationship, like a friendship.
For sure.
Almost. Like a friendship to say, I get you, you get me. We both have the same objective.
Mm-hmm.
How do we best do it? And also understanding where the brand is going. So I think maybe some events companies don't ask, what are you guys doing this year? Okay, refreshes like nothing on earth or whatever the case may be. Okay, let's make something refreshing.
Yeah.
And align with you. And then that's how you keep them on their ROI and for they sure. get their return on investment.
Yeah, I like that. Just being transparent and honest. Like exactly. If you say you're going to do something, do it, but if you can't, also communicate that.
Exactly.
I want to know, why do you do what you do? Is it a passion? Do you like bringing people, you know, joy, making people happy?
It was a mistake. I was meant to be a politician.
Okay. Okay.
I thought I would be president one day.
Uh-huh. It's not too late, though. You're running Bacardi. You guys You're one will... step closer to running the country.
I think it's in the business of making fun. I always say that, like, I'm in the business of making fun and making people happy. And I think with all the stress that comes with it, nothing brings me more joy than, like, this is the best weekend of my life. I was so happy. I can't believe this can't happen every 2 weeks or monthly. Those kinds of responses keep it going. And also, it's different. Uh-huh. It's fun. It's exciting. Like, we get to dream and then realize those dreams by our own hand. Mm. So for me, that's what makes it with it.
So you're in it for the fun of it and putting smiles on our faces.
Exactly.
Oh, that's lovely.
Because if it made me rich, I wish it did.
Yeah.
But it's not enough yet.
Yeah, but you're getting there for sure.
One day,
one step at a time.
Yeah.
And in your opinion, obviously you've run lots of successful events.
Yeah.
What does it take to run a successful event, especially in Cyril's economy?
Yo, Cyril. I'm going to be president, guys. I'll fix it. Don't worry.
I'm voting for her personally. I'm with it.
What it takes to run an event is an excellent production manager, planning. So it's planning. All of it is planning, essentially. Yeah. And whether that's you doing it yourself or a production manager that basically can take all these brands, all these artists, all this venue and put it all and make it one thing. Mm. The planning is the most important thing. The cash flow management, unreal.
Okay.
Right? So sponsors don't pay immediately.
Yes.
So you also have to have some cash in the bank and you have to manage and you have to negotiate that, yo, Spotify, can you put up your own tent? I'll holler at you later or this or that. But it's actually, it's a project management and planning management and cash flow management. But I also think once you take your ego out of an event, for me, you have to also be willing to help. So I'm going to go and pack 1,000 goodie bags.
Yes.
Because right now there's no one who can
do it. Yeah.
Probably shouldn't have because like it's not my job, but it is my job.
Yeah.
So it's very much about being proactive, very much about building relationships with people that are going to assist you and treating your staff really well. Mm. Like these guys.
Yes.
These guys make this event, right?
Yeah.
So if I'm at the bar and I see one of them, it's hi, hello, how are you? Are you tired? It's a joke. Mm. It's like, how can I help in this?
Yeah.
It's those little things that kind of make it a 360, well-rounded event. Mm-hmm. Treating the people that service you well, treating your customers well.
Yeah.
As well. Like, you have a problem, I will take the time, I'll walk with you to go try find your cell phone.
Yeah.
Cell phones are the bane of my existence.
Yeah.
Or help you get a charger or this or that. And so I think it's actually just being a good oak.
Okay.
Yeah, be a good oak.
Yeah. And as you're speaking, I'm getting like the sense of community. That
there
really has to be a good sense of community. Everyone looking after one another, being good to one another. And earlier we were speaking to the vision of Bacardi.
Yeah.
And I guess your events in general. And I hope you don't mind me sharing this, but you were saying that like in the beginning, things weren't maybe working out the way that you guys wanted for them to, or rather you weren't getting the results that you felt like you maybe should have been able to get. And I think that's important because sometimes when you start a new venture, such as an event, you want to be profitable off of the bat. You want it to be big. And sometimes you have to commit to the vision of something and play the long game to know that, you know what, in the end, that this
I'll
is how
get
it's going to come.
No, look, like it's a long-term investment. Events don't... If you're doing it right, there's not a big payout immediately. There's a lot of investment that comes out of you.
Okay.
And if you're going to continue building, I mean, Holiday Club, to be quite frank, wasn't profitable until I think the third one.
Uh-huh.
The first one was about 300 comps to our friends.
Okay.
Because you must think about this concept that you buy your ticket and everything is free. Who's going to trust that?
Especially here in Saudi.
Yeah, you understand? Like, who's going to trust that? Like, my drinks, actually the drinks.
My drinks, my food.
My food, whatever.
I'm good.
I remember the first one, some guy came to the bar and he was like, you guys said everything, unlimitless or whatever.
Yeah.
I want 20 tequilas.
Yeah.
I said, no, order them. And the barman poured all 20. bought 20, and we were like, okay, cool. Yeah. Now he's stuck. He has no one to...
To help him now
because he didn't see this coming. And then I remember saying to him, I was like, share with everyone.
Yeah.
Because that's also a big thing about Bacardi. I'm standing in a line. Someone behind me says, yo, can I have a drink? Buy it.
Yeah.
Because you're not technically buying it. Yes. Go maths. Yes. Go maths.
Yes. Yes. Of course.
You're not technically buying it. So, I mean, for us, a lot of it came with holding back our profits to continuously reinvest in the business. Reinvest in the business. I mean, I was speaking to you and I was saying, for COVID, we had saved and saved and saved. Oh, my God. Mm. And I remember January 2020, we were like, okay, dividends?
Yeah.
Like, dividends, nyana, something. And we were actually like, no, let's hold off. Let's hold off. Mm. We did a holiday club. Cyril shut down.
Yes.
And we had no work.
Yeah.
But because we had saved and saved and saved, we were still able to maintain our lifestyles. Mm. We were still able to pay the salaries to the employees that we did have. So I think also, I think it also goes back to ego. Like, I know people want to have fancy cars and do all this other stuff, but an events business requires a lot of investment. Mm. And I think all entrepreneurship, a lot of putting back into the business before you see the lights.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As you're speaking, I'm just really interested in like your work-life balance. How do you strike that? Because I feel like this takes a lot of your time, a lot of your energy. You work with your friends. So I mean, naturally you're seeing them, but obviously you have a life outside of work as well.
Yeah.
Are you able to strike that balance? What does it look like for you?
No, I'm very poor at it. Okay. I'm very poor at it. My therapist told me to put up boundaries.
Yeah.
And just kind of, you know, I don't know. I think I work with my friends, so I see my friends every day. Mm-hmm. So friendship is sorted.
Yeah.
It's actually the outside, like other friends that aren't in this business, that's hard.
I see.
But a work-life balance is based on routine. I've become very strict in my older age.
Okay.
On
older age, guys, she's 30. Like,
excuse me, again, as a youth. Actually, I'm still a youth.
You definitely are still part of the youth league.
I'm still a youth, yeah. I think I've been personally very strict on my routine. Lots of gym. I meditate every day. I see a therapist. But there is no work-life balance, really.
Okay.
You just keep it going. I hope one day I'll build a big enough company where I don't have to work as hard.
For sure.
But as it stands...
Right now.
Yeah, we're rocking. We're doing it. And we continue.
Okay, so the favorite part of Bacardi is obviously the joy on people's faces, the experience. Yeah. What is something you do not like?
Litter.
Ooh.
Yeah.
What a great answer.
I don't get it. The one year we had black bins and no one used them.
Yes.
So we got these green bins that are so bright and so ugly.
You can't miss them.
But you can't miss them. Mm-hmm. For me, I just think like... it's just, I think we're trying to create a community where everyone is comfortable.
Yeah.
I wish everyone would just go that extra mile of just throwing away their rubbish. That's my biggest pet peeve.
Yeah.
I'm always on the radio, cleaning, where's cleaning? And they're also just human. They're doing the best that they can. So for me, it's just the litter. That's my least favorite thing.
You just really don't
and that's
like.
On you guys. You consumers.
Everybody's sitting here.
Yeah, you guys aren't cleaning up after yourselves. So it's just the waste thing, you know, for me.
No, for sure.
Can't stand
I can
it.
Imagine. And
so please, guys, clean up after yourselves.
Do something. Yeah. So obviously you are with Untalental, you're doing Bacardi. You don't have much of a balance right now with your, you know, your work. But you also have like, I don't know how to say it, maybe a personal brand. You have work that you do by yourself that is outside of what you're doing now.
Yeah.
Talk to me also about that balance and if you struggle, because I feel like you're someone who really does show up as who you are at work and what you're going to see also through my personal content.
What you're going to get.
You know, do you sometimes struggle with the fact that like, okay, I am known to be with Until and this is maybe the persona that is associated with that, and now when I'm working with a brand on my own accord, I'm having to show a different side of my personality or anything of that sort?
No, I think I've cultivated a brand that is, or a personality that is Jax Amahle.
Yes.
Who's very social, who's very fun, engaging. Everybody loves her.
Yeah.
And then there's me.
Okay.
And those are two separate people. But when it comes to showing up with brands, you get Jax Amahle from Until is the person that you're going to get throughout.
Okay.
Because that's who's been put forward to, for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, brands, I feel like I'm authentically always myself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I sometimes say no to a lot of brand jobs because they don't necessarily suit me. But yeah, I think they're one and the same, but there is a difference between this person who's actually very extroverted, very anxious, wants to sit at home most of the time, but has to put herself out there for the bigger picture that is Antilantil and Amahle.
Yeah.
They're actually one in the same almost.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, for sure. And again, earlier on, I was speaking to the fact that I definitely have anxiety sometimes. So just even having to do work and step out and be present is a lot for me. And you are someone who has to constantly be social.
Yeah.
On your bad days, you know, I think it's also important that in the entertainment industry, we do normalize a conversation of maintaining your mental health.
Yeah.
And maybe not losing it in the midst of everything.
Yeah.
What are some things that you do that keep you sane?
I pay a therapist an insane amount of money. I meditate every day, 10 minutes, nothing hectic. I work out every day. I find if I'm having a bad day and I work out, I automatically get what I call free endorphins. But I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I've got it unlocked. There's many times my colleagues have had to come like, they have spare keys for my apartment. Come pull me out of bed. It was worse when I was younger, but now I think I've gotten to a point where I've put in the work, and I've also sourced the services that take me out of a depression or anxiety or that kind of thing. But it's not easy, especially when you have to be social. Like
for
I woke up this morning and I am tired.
But someone walks past and says,
you have to do it. Someone walks past and says, Jax, and you have to be
alive.
Happy because they don't, it's not their fault you're in shit mood, you know? So I think it's just those like things that I put into place, but in general, it's better now that I'm older.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, no, that's good. At least, you know, you say you don't have a balance, but to me, it's kind of sounding like at least you have an idea.
A little bit,
a little bit, of how things need to happen. The future of Bacardi, what does it look like for us?
Who? Bigger and better.
Okay.
Bigger and better. So what we started also was an event called Best Day Ever, which happens in Cape Town in December. And that's a one-day version of this. And I think we're also going to focus on trying to build that because Shame Cape Town doesn't have anything from us. So Best Day Ever, that happens in December in Cape Town. And then for Bacardi, it's just looking at everything that we do and just trying to improve, coming up with a better theme, more artists. Are we going to go international? You know, are we going to try and get it international here? It's just trying to get it bigger and better, but still maintaining quality and still maintaining that space of like homeliness and comfort and holiday and a good vibe. So we haven't decided on a theme yet for next year. Just let us get through this weekend. And then we're back in April on planning it. But for us, this is a silly concept if you think about it.
Yes.
It doesn't make a lot of money.
Yes.
But it makes me happy. And I think that's why we do it.
And like, I think you make many other people feel happy in turn.
Yeah. That's
you good. Spoke a bit now about doing an event in Cape Town.
Yeah.
How were those logistics?
Cape Town is different.
Okay.
They're stricter.
Okay.
So it's just basically we take the whole team, we try to find a venue that's already established, that already has all the certification that we need.
Yeah.
And basically we just show up and we bring branding, bring ourselves, and then we host people. So Best Day Ever, we did it at Cabo Beach. The 1 year it was at Grand. And it's harder. I don't think Cape Town people groove as hard as this
for sure.
These two provinces, Mpumalanga and Gauteng, they're more relaxed. I'm having wine and stuff like that. But yeah, that Cape Town is always a good vibe. I enjoy it. Yeah.
And would you guys think about doing events elsewhere in the country?
That is a what was that?
Durban. Yeah. No, we need a Durban.
They're saying Limpopo, Durban,
Bloemfontein. Oh, no, it's too hot in Bloom. We can't do Bloom. Yeah. Already we are suffering here. Yeah, we can't.
Robben Island. I like Robben Island.
Robben Island. That would be cool.
That's my dream. She's saying it because she knows.
Because she knows.
She knows. Because if I could throw a groove on Robben Island, I've reached my peak.
Oh, that would be
I've made
insane.
My ancestors happy.
Yeah.
Where they were enslaved, we now groove. Are.
For sure.
Definitely as the team grows and we expand, we're looking at other provinces and just taking over the whole of South Africa, essentially.
Oh, as you guys should.
Guys, I want to open up the floor if you guys have any questions for Jax regarding Bacardi. We got a question over there.
Hi, Amale.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Amale. I am great.
Oh, CC.
Guys, that is the real Bacardi experience.
Oh, shucks.
My question is twofold. So what legacy do you envision for Until? And also just yourself, what do you want to be remembered for?
What's your name?
Letao.
Letao.
Yes.
Hi, Letao.
Hi.
What do I envision for Until? I envision Until being the best events company in this country. Mm-hmm. And I imagine us building such amazing events where people around the world come to us, right? So you see a lot of people leaving the country to Code Groove. I want to create a company where people are leaving New York, Singapore, Paris, because they need to be here, because I've created that, and with my team, obviously. My legacy, it's a bit controversial, a bit like, but like for me, One day I want to go into service of the country, public life. And I think that would be my end goal, is holding office somewhere and kind of just improving South African lives. Not with events, but now more. So I start with events and then I branch improve you, that. Social development, whatever. But that, yeah, that's what I envision. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, for president, guys. Do we have another question? Yes, we do, over there.
Hi, Mbali. First things first, big fans of both of you. Love your work.
Thank you.
Question, being, you know, a woman in the space that you're in, very male-dominated thing. Like, how do you feel? Like, how do you keep yourself, like, motivated and keep going? Do you have, like, a tribe that you, like, maybe rely on or something?
Yeah, I'm fortunate enough that my business partners, who are also male, have never othered me, right? So I've always gone into anything that I'm going into knowing that I'm enough. I'm equal, I'm the same, I hold as much power. And so when I navigate these spaces, I'm not saying it's easy, but I have the chias and the, like, the bravado, and I have the backing of like four men behind me who are saying, we believe in you, and you know what you're doing, and you're correct, and you're alive. So I can go and walk into a space very confidently and not take your disrespect. But it is hard, you know, especially in the beginning when I was younger. Like, I remember this one time we were doing a site recce and we're standing with sponsors, and the floor map was in the car, and this one sponsor says, can't your assistant do it for you? Pointing to me.
What an assumption.
Who's the assistant here? We both have the equal shares in this company. But it's also my business partners who would say, immediately stand up for me and say, that's not an assistant. She owns the company as well. But I would say, for anyone else who's obviously not as fortunate as I am to have the backing that I had, is to stand your ground. They're going to call you a bitch. They're going to call you emotional. They're going to use all these adjectives to describe how people naturally feel about things, as if it's wrong. Own it. I am emotional. I'm extremely emotional. I own that. They know that. Like, I'm not the easy, calm, relaxed hand that everyone expects me to be. And I've owned that. I am very, like, dedicated to, like, I don't know, how do I say it? Getting things through the lines. And if you can't do it, I'll do it myself. That's my personality. That has nothing to do with being a woman. So everything they describe you with, you take its power away the moment you own it. I'm not overreacting. I'm reacting.
For sure.
Thank you.
Do we have another question? Yes, we do, over here.
There's one over there.
Hi.
How's it?
My name is Notando.
Hi.
So I want to actually ask, how do you deal with the challenges of creating all of these events?
We're overworked and underpaid. Ask that guy there. We're overworked and underpaid, but I think, I actually don't know how I deal with it. I think we just get it done. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's Sunny Rose, there's Good Morning, there's all these events back to back. we cry a lot of the time, but also we take a lot of time out for ourselves. When I get home, you won't catch me on my phone. And everyone who works with me knows that. Like, when I enter my house, that notification on Apple goes on, home, do not disturb. You know what I mean? It's about taking pockets of time for yourself. Before Holiday Club, I was at a 6-day wedding. I took leave off. I went to my friend's wedding. We went to the bush. So it's those little pockets of like choosing yourself, because it becomes a rat race if you're going to consistently just choose a business. I'm a person who doesn't believe that work is your personality. You have to have things outside of work. You have to have friends outside of work. So I think that's how I personally deal with it, is like little moments for myself and taking leave. And yeah, but it's not easy. We cry a lot.
But she keeps it moving. And I think that's the most important thing. Any other questions? Oh, we have a question up here. Yes.
Hi, Tando here.
Hi, sister.
Hi, sister.
That's my little sister.
I just wanted to ask, how do you deal with other event companies? Because I think that it would be territorial in some of, in the event space.
Yeah.
And also, how do you deal with theft of ideas? Because you know, I got an eye and I notice a couple of things. And how do you deal with that? Hey.
Yeah.
That looks familiar.
Theft of ideas, theft of concept. Publicly, I will say that it means that I'm doing my job. The more I do and you replicate it, I've influenced and I've done my job. And you will never, there's an original and there's a knockoff. You always want the original. So that's how I deal. But how I deal with it internally is that it pisses me off. You know, but like, I'll never say anything, because I think if someone steals your idea, or, and I'm speaking for myself, this is my personal opinion, if you voice your opinion out on that publicly, you give it more air. You give that person or that event entity more recognition, because that was coming from me and I'm shouting about this thing. So internally, we'll be like, well, that's crazy. They stole our concept. They stole our design. They stole our decor. But it's also a blow of my ego. Like, you can't come up with a good idea. You have to take mine. So be it. But as Until, we'll never address stuff like that. Because rule number one, don't explain. Yeah.
Do we have any more questions?
Yes, that one over there.
Hey. How's this? My name is Khumutso.
Hi, Khumutso.
I think maybe you might have answered the question already, but like, how do you deal with burnout? Especially because most of us kind of like put it back towards the end of the year, and that's when you guys are the most busy with events. I don't know if you can answer that. And lastly, when do you go for president? Because we're ready to vote. We're registered. We don't know who to vote for, so please.
I'll answer the first question. I have to make enough money so I'm not tempted by state funds. The second question. So, public office, I have to make enough money so I'm not tempted.
Yes.
Because you guys are going to look to me to not be corrupt, right? But the first question, how do I deal with exhaustion? I was extremely exhausted in December. And I had to delegate to my team and say, guys, I won't make Bacardi best day ever in Cape Town. And then I had to make the decision that I'm going to sit, which is something a lot of us struggle with, right? To say that I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to disappoint people. I'm going to cut out grooving, lunches, all this other stuff. From the 21st of December until the 4th of January, I sat in my house and I slept. And I worked out and I went to lunch here and there, but I had to make a hard call, and I think this may be something people struggle with, because you're going to disappoint your job or you're going to disappoint your friends or whatever. But if I don't exist, what's the fucking point of it all, right? So I have to make those hard decisions sometimes, like, I'm not leaving my house this weekend. Yes, there's so-and-so's birthday and someone else's baby shower and the Royale needs me to be there and all these other things. But there's... if I'm dead, there's no point in all of this. So it's a very hard call, and it's not easy. It's the first time I've ever had to do it, where I sat and I was just like, I'm not leaving. Like, I'm in my house. I go to work. I mean, actually it was holidays, so gym in my house, groceries, I'm cooking 3 times a day. It's beautiful. And I think you just have to take that time.
Yeah.
Do we have another question? We do at the back. Oh, we have two.
How, Kaba?
Hi, I'm Kaba. I've got one question. How much of what is happening is planned, and how much of it was not planned in regards to Until Until?
With Until Until?
Yeah.
A lot of it was chance, right? I'll tell you guys a story. In matric, I was very naughty, you know? Matric, I was very naughty, so I used to come to Joburg a lot. And I went to this event, and I bumped into these guys. We were dancing, and we bumped into these guys, and we invited them to my friend's house. And those guys, that was Tulani and Charles and the boys. And that's how I met them. So that's chance, right? If I don't go to that party, I don't meet Tools and Charles and Honks and Shaz, I don't start Until Until. But I think the last 7 years, as soon as everyone quit their jobs, has been very deliberate in that we want to create an events company. We want to create an agency. We want to be on the forefront of entertainment. We want to uplift young up and up and coming artists, because we could have an extravaganza of just like all these big names, but what's the point, right? And that's been very intentional. And that happened, I think, about 7 years ago. So a Bacardi Holiday Club is an idea. Like, what would happen if we created a festival where no one had to bring out their cards? That's an idea, right? Then you mull over it and you mull over it, and then you make it intentional and you build it and you happen. So Until Until starts off by chance, and then when everyone makes the decision to take this thing seriously, it becomes very intentional. And then every single thing you do after that is very intentional. It's building, you know, event properties that most people wouldn't build. It's, have you guys ever seen so many black people swimming in a pool? Yeah. He said, we want to see black people swimming. Every time we go to a pool party, everyone's just got a toe in. They're toeing. So we said, no, actually, let's make black people swim. So we're going to do a pool party, and we're going to make this venue so comfortable and so good that I can't take off my clothes and swim. So there is a lot of, everything we do now is intentional, but how we started by chance. Yeah.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm Goki, and yes. I wanted to ask you, Amahle, out of all the, yeah.
Where's the question? Sorry. I was looking there. Sorry. Yeah.
That's okay. Out of all the Bacardis that you've had, which one would you say is your highlight?
The first one.
Okay. And which one was this one?
It was the first one we did in 2000, I don't remember. It was basically a proof of concept, but it was so good. We had Swiss Beats. No one will ever know this. We had Imagine. Swiss Beats on our stage. And yeah. And so we were basically trying to convince people of this idea. Bacardi was nice enough to bring us Swiss Beats. He was the ambassador at the time. And so he came and it was about 600 people. So it was very intimate, very like cute. Swiss Beats was performing amongst people. But that one will always be my favorite, because I think that's when we realized we had something. We didn't have it good at all. The food wasn't great. The drinks, we weren't doing it great. Like, the layout wasn't the best. But it was the first time we had proof of concept. It was intimate. It was a lot of our friends. And I actually attended that one as someone who enjoyed it, right? Now I'm working, so I'm up and off and all that and stuff. But it will always be the first one for me. Thank you.
I don't mean to put you on the spot. I'm right here.
Oh, hi, Bia.
You guys have worked with a lot of sponsors. A lot of brands have fought over Until Until and stood in line to work with you guys.
Yeah.
Question. Top 5 brands that you, as Jax, have ever worked with. There's no wrong or right answer.
Yeah. Spotify. Uh-huh. Let's start there. Mm-hmm. No, but for real, I need you guys to understand, when I got the email that says Spotify is going to do a podcast, how? It's loud here. There's people. How are you going to do it? And the renders that they sent us, like what this was going to look like, it looks quite literally like this. I'll do Spotify. I'll do Johnny Walker. They've been holding us down with Sunday Roast. They allow us to do whatever, dream, however we want to, you know, execute something. They don't have a lot of, they have a lot of red tape, but they're like, you guys tell us what you're going to do, yeah, and then we'll do it. It's a new one, Liquid Fruit. Okay. This year, I think, has been a brilliant sponsor to work with. They came in and they were just like, we're just trying to sell some juice. And how do we sell the best juice, yeah, or whatever the case may be? But they were on the ball with all of our ideas. So let's make slushies, let's do all of that. Yeah. I would be very incorrect, uh-huh, if I didn't say Bacardi Holiday Club, uh-huh, or rather Bacardi. Uh-huh. And when we started this thing and we had this idea, but no one wanted to buy into it. Mm-hmm. You're going to have people here, they're not purchasing their, mm-hmm, drinks. How? Like, what do you mean? But Bacardi was the only brand who said, we see this idea, we want it, let's do it. Right? And they've been with us for 7 years now. Mm-hmm. So obviously working with Bacardi has been absolutely brilliant and I enjoy them the most. The last one. Jules, help me. Yeah. Oh yeah. I'm gonna give a shout out to Stella Artois. Hold on, let me tell you why. So Stella with Sunday Roast, they actually pay for the meals that everyone eats, and they understood that like beer and food go together. Because a lot of brands will be like, oh, but this is not our direction or this or that. But they were very much like, oh, you guys are doing food. We immediately want to own that. They're also the only brand when we're doing our event setup who are there on time and who finish before everyone else. Like the easiest brand to work with. So yeah, I think those are my favorite brands, beer. Thanks for that.
Hi.
How's it?
First of all, I'm just so glad to be on my friend's podcast. Love it, Spotify. Love it for you guys. I've been coming to Bacardi for a while now. And I met you at Roast multiple times. But
yeah,
let's not talk about the Until brand that you guys have.
Yeah.
I want to understand how you guys have created the safety.
Safety.
Like when I say the safety, yes, safety is the word. But like you can go to other events, you can go to Opi Gopi. I'm sorry, I don't know where it is right now. Daisies, whatever. It's so unsafe. Like we come here, we lock our tents with our little situation, but you guys have created such a safety in this environment. I've never, ever in my life heard about someone being, I don't know, touched, funny,
use
funny.
Your,
like,
yeah, you
know, like,
words, yeah.
I don't know how to say it, but like, that has never happened at Bacardi for me. It's never happened to Bacardi for anyone that I know. I just want to understand how you guys have created such that. A safe environment for everyone to just enjoy their life and not have to worry about, like, if I sleep now, if I sleep with my tent open, what's going to happen to
yeah.
me?
Yeah. I think, I'll speak from my perspective, it's visibility, right? So we, unlike other events organizers, are always on the ground. Mm-hmm. You can always find one of us, right? And I think that's also created a situation where people know, not necessarily that you can't fuck around, mm-hmm. but there will always be some proactiveness to that. But I think visibility of event organizers, they're always in production offices or backstage that you can't get access to yeah. them. I'll start with like what we do is that we are always available when someone does have an issue where they feel unsafe. In terms of the vibe and the energy we've created, it is a bit of a unicorn. I don't know what it is, to be honest with you. I don't know what it is where we have somehow managed to create a space where no one wants to fight, no one wants to mishandle. And it might be in the communication we bring out. We do a lot of communication about everyone is just out here to have fun. Everyone must respect each other. There's obviously that. But I can't say what it is that we've done outside of the fact that if you do have an issue, you can always find one of us. We have always communicated that anything that we do is a safe space. We also have a zero tolerance policy to it, right? Mm. I've kicked out DJs from my event, famous DJs for mishandling or you know, not acting appropriately towards women or other people. So I think, quite literally, it's just the, it's the way we act, and it's the way,
it's the way you act.
It's the way we've acted that I think has just kind of set the tone that says, here you don't fuck around. You know, yeah.
I think I just want to say thank you for that. Like, it's so hard to be in spaces and go by yourself, be a woman. I don't know what the niggas feel, but to go out and be in spaces like that is very hard when you come by yourself. I just met them today. These could be my best friends. But I'm not sleeping in the same tent as them. You yeah. guys have created such a safe environment. It's like a question people need to ask and understand, what are they doing right? And I'm just saying, I appreciate everything that you guys, hosters, and until.
Yeah.
It's going until.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Appreciate it.
We have another question.
Got you.
Hi.
How's it?
I'm okay. Getting there.
Hi.
My name is Sibu.
Hi, Sibu.
I just have a quick question. So explaining how you started out, like you guys were throwing parties. It's fine now. You're throwing parties and then you realize that actually you're good at it. So how did you reach that point where you realize that actually I can make money out of this? Because I mean, like with different people who have dreams, right?
And yeah.
it's safer to be in your comfort zone, but you don't know when to actually step out. And how did you actually do that and have discipline in achieving what you wanted to get?
Yeah, so I'll say this. We were privileged, and I think we must always acknowledge privilege when it exists. We were very privileged to have parents that were understanding. That's number one. I was actually saying to Google earlier that, like, a lot of sacrifices came with, for example, a lot of us didn't move out of home until, like, 29. So there was also that sacrifice that allowed for us to kind of build this company. But how did we know? The first time we knew is when brands started coming to us to ask us ideas of how they should make a cool event. That's when we knew, like, there was something. And I think you should always look for a unique selling point, something that differentiates you from everyone else. If you have that, you will then be able to sell whatever product or service that you have. But I also think there's a lot of risk, and it doesn't always pay out. And like I'm saying, the privilege of still being able to live at home, not having a salary, but you can eat, you can, that also assisted in us taking the risk, right? And I know not everyone is fortunate in that regard, so I don't want to sit here and pretend like it was all hunky-dory. There was privilege that came with it. And I mean, my mom, dude, like, she didn't understand, like, what do you mean you're gonna throw parties? Like, what do you mean by that? As long as you get to your degree, sharp, fine. So I think that's also what helped. But the moment you realize you have something unique and something that people even have a small peak interest in it, take the risk. And then also understand the sacrifice that's gonna have to come with it. You're not gonna buy the fancy car. You're not gonna have the designer. You're probably not gonna go on holiday. But when you do get to do those things, it'll be the best version of those things. And I think that's where it goes.
We have two more questions. Oh, three.
Sorry, hi guys. I wanted to add on to an answer that Jax was giving about safety earlier. And I think it's two things that I wanted to add. Was one is briefing security. So if you're sitting here and you're in the events industry and you're wondering about safety and how you ensure that you have a safe place, it's very much about the briefing. What are you saying to the staff around you? Not just the security, but I mean, from the production staff to the cleaning, etc., to let them know that, like, yo, I need to look after these people. They're in my hands. They're in our hands, you know? It's not just myself and Jax and the people working on the top that are in charge of everyone. It's every single person here. So I think that's a big part of what we do. You know, we ensure that we're communicating with the people working on the ground, that they themselves are also paying attention, paying an eye, looking after all of you. And I think the second point is, you know, I think our personalities come through quite a lot in our events. And we're I guess it's the unicorn Jax was speaking of, that we're a very unique group of friends that are, you know, quite soft, actually. So I think that tenderness comes through in the experience. So that, I guess, also adds to the feeling of comfort and the feeling of safety that you get. Okay. Brr, pow. Sure.
Guys, I think we only have time for one more question. Okay, as long as the two are quick.
I'll also try to answer quick.
Thank you so much. I'll try to be quick. Firstly, I think I want to also say one of the things that keeps bringing me back is, and I don't know, and I hope you guys know this, that you're breaking so many stereotypes in how people perceive beautiful black majority attendees at a festival, right? There's free alcohol, there's free music, and all of those things. And what you guys are actually saying to the world is that whatever internalized biases they have about how we behave or whatever, this is the space to say a big F you to all of those. And really, in a real way, I'm a festival girl, I'm a music girl, and one of the things that makes me feel particularly so amazing and safe is that I see people who look like me, and it's the majority of us here, and we're taking care of each other, we're enjoying the vibes, etc. So I just want to recognize that work. I made notes, so I'm quick.
Okay, thank you.
Also, this is probably not appropriate, but shout out to you guys for making cool beans cool. Literally, who would have thunk that cool can be cool? And then I hope they really showed you so much love for that, because some of us, we've seen the work. I'm out here in my trolley and I'm like, yo, I once had this booty at Bacardi and it was cool. You know what I mean? And also the last shout out, thank you for seeing the excellent diversity of music and musicians in this country, right? I was so impressed at the lineups all the years, but bringing, you know, one of the brilliant musicians like Ndabo Zulu to this kind of platform and seeing how people were encoring from all the way back, and we see it every year. You gave us Kalawa Jasmine. You know what I mean? You really understand that pool.
Yeah.
Now, back to my question, and also just wanted to say that I hope you guys know, as young black entrepreneurs, you inspired these young black entrepreneurs to also believe that they can start and solve a problem for our people. Now, my question, I'm done, guys. My question is, I feel like we deserve the privilege because we've been here in this dope podcast. What is the formula for getting tickets for all of your events? Is it that 3 minutes to 12 we must lock on? Mm-hmm. Is it that because the booked out, the sold out, we set our alarms without fail? Whether it's roast, whether it's, you know, good morning, etc. And Bacardi.
Yeah.
Can you give us the tricks, the insider knowledge? They can edit it out on Spotify. But seriously, guys, what is the formula for making sure that we never miss an until party? Thank you so much.
So thank you so much for your kind words. I really do appreciate that. Like, we have always, Tools does the lineups, and we've always wanted to uplift musicians that wouldn't necessarily get a platform like a Bacardi Holiday Club.
Shout out to Tools, Vice President.
Yeah. In terms of the formula, it is very much a, I know you guys think we're crazy when we say keep refreshing, but literally, if you keep patience, guys.
Ah, never. Nami Angvumi, I'm sorry.
But wait. We have changed ticketing companies for the likes of Roast and Good Morning. So I think the experience will be much better going forward. Okay. And then when it comes to Bacardi, so you refresh and then you sit, right? Because a lot of people will try and book out a ticket and then they don't pay for it. Mm. So you'll find if we drop the tickets at 9 o'clock, I've booked out all the tickets. He has 15 minutes to pay for it. He doesn't pay for it. What about 20 bucks? That ticket goes back into the system. So if you kind of, I know it sounds crazy, but like if you just have a little bit of patience, you'll get the tickets. Thank you so much, Ne. One more. Oh, done.
No, oh, gosh, we don't have any time.
Thank you.
Whoop, whoop.
Thank you so much.
Of course, guys, just some closing words. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you for the community and the environment you've created. It's very evident to me that we needed a space like this.
Yeah.
So it's amazing that you guys were able to do that. Thank you so much to Spotify for giving us this platform and giving the attendees an opportunity to interact with President Jax herself. Thank you for the juice. Thank you for the goodness. And I hope that you guys enjoy the rest of your day. There is another podcast episode happening after this, so please stick around for that. And you guys will catch this episode on Spotify as well. So that is us signing out. Cheers.
Cheers. Thank you.